You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Is Spotify hitting the right note on AI streaming? Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. Spotify has become a global leader in audio streaming with over 500 million monthly active users and revenue last year of over $11 billion. The Swedish company has been criticised for paying artists very little per stream and allowing hate speech on its platform. Now questions are being raised over its willingness to stream content created by artificial intelligence. Its founder and CEO, Daniel Ek, has given an exclusive interview to the BBC, which he says there are valid uses of the tech in making music, but AI should not be used to impersonate human artists without their consent.
You have so-called deepfake AIs where someone's impersonating some famous artist, etc. And our view is obviously that is not positive. And we believe that, say, something in the Drake Weeknd case, that Drake and Weeknd should be able to decide what kind of content they want to put out in the world, what they stand for.
So would they ban AI content?
We have no immediate plans. And in fact, it wouldn't even surprise me that if we look at the top chart of Spotify today, that there's legitimate use of AI done by artists and we would allow for them. And then there's the one where it's clearly someone trying to steal someone's name or likeness or even infringe on someone's IP, at which point we would say that is not okay, that is not what we stand for, and we would take that down.
Spotify has recently invested a lot in podcasting. Big deals were cut with the Obamas and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, but they released 12 podcasts in 2.5 years. Was that worth the money?
We thought new innovation was needed to happen here. We thought we can come in and offer a great experience that both makes consumers very happy and allows new creators new avenues to build new podcasts. And we've succeeded with that. Now, in part of that, we also signed lots and lots of new podcasters to this medium. And the truth of the matter is some of it has worked, some of it hasn't. And we're learning from those and we're moving on, and we wish all of the ones we didn't renew with the best of success that they can have going forward.
That was Spotify founder and CEO Daniel Ek. Now, let's do the numbers. It's exactly 1 year since the pound took a nosedive to a record low value. That was all thanks to a mini budget during the brief Truss administration in the UK. While the pound has managed to regain about 18% of its lost value, it's threatening to break further below the $1.22 mark it breached overnight. In short, the pressure is piling on the pound.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by C3 AI. C3 Generative AI provides ChatGPT enterprise search that is verifiable, secure, and accurate across all enterprise data. C3.AI, this is enterprise AI. And by Amazon Business, helping provide a smarter, easier way to get the supplies businesses need to thrive. Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Officials in the Philippines have told the BBC they won't be intimidated by Beijing in a territorial standoff in the South China Sea. China claims most of the sea, but neighbouring countries disagree. And there's been plenty of flashpoints. For example, the Philippines has just removed a floating barrier installed by China to block fishing boats. In solidarity, the US, which has a mutual defence treaty with the Philippines, has been holding joint drills in the region with Japan and Australia. The BBC's Asia Pacific correspondent Laura Bicker reports from the Filipino island of Palawan.
School has been cancelled in Palawan as wind and rain lash the island. The children celebrate by playing basketball.
So one day will you fish in these boats?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The people of this island are used to battling the weather, but now their country's in a standoff with Beijing over who owns which valuable fishing ground and reef in the South China Sea.
We might not return to the shoal, ma'am. We're scared of China. We were harassed, and they even asked us to leave.
Benjo Atpai started fishing in the contested waters around Ayungan Shoal at the age of 14. Now in his 30s, he believes Beijing's fishing fleets are becoming more aggressive.
It's getting harder each year, and we are only allowed on a limited number of islands due to others being occupied by different countries.
The fishermen have been asked to join a militia to help defend Filipino territory, but they have no wish to take on a global superpower.
If we stand guard, how can we feed our families? What we need is to fish. That's our goal, out in the sea.
The Chinese fired their water cannons at the Filipino Coast Guard earlier this month. Beijing argue it's protecting its sovereignty, its claims in the South China Sea, and will continue to do so.
Really, it is a David versus Goliath issue.
Jonathan Malaya is Assistant Director General of the Filipino National Security Council.
But just like David, we will continue to pound and double down on the need to protect the resources which are important for the future of the Philippines.
In a show of solidarity and strength, the Japanese, the Australians and the US have all sent warships to the region, which has given Manila a certain confidence.
We do not have the resources of China. While international law is on our side, we need the support of other countries.
Allied help comes with the risk of escalating this dispute. Nowhere else in the world do these nations come so close to one another, which also raises the fear of a miscalculation at sea. Back on Palawan, the children's future was once determined by the island's tides. Now it may depend on a test of will and the resolve of their parents and leaders, a struggle that could shape the future of the South China Sea and, to some extent, the rest of the world.
That was the BBC's Laura Bicker with that report. And finally, if your work colleague is fond of a particularly pungent garlic bread, maybe suggest to them to have some natural yogurt. Researchers have discovered that proteins found in whole milk plain yogurt work well to neutralise the sulfur-based compounds that cause the smell, and you won't have to switch desks. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.